Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast with me, I'm Kaizad Adajania. It has been almost 30 years since the economic liberalization process in India started. If you hear stories from the day on how, say, IPOs were priced or stocks were researched upon, bought and sold and many more ways in which India functioned at the time, it would seem a whole different lifetime. Just cast Nilesh Shah. Nilesh is the CEO of Kotak Mahindra Mutual Fund. But in the early 1990s, he had just got his chartered accountant qualification and had joined ICICI Limited as a junior officer in its merchant banking division. In today's podcast, Nilesh shares with us stories from the days when reforms process was kickstarted and how things have changed in stock markets, mutual funds industry, and how investors and fund managers both have changed over the years. This podcast is as part of Money Control's special series on 30 years of Indian economic reforms.
Hi, Nilesh. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Kaizad, for inviting me on this podcast.
Our pleasure, Nilesh, to have you as always with us. Always interested in hearing your interesting stories that you have to share. So, Nilesh, to begin with, I want to take you back, 30 years to the times when reforms were introduced in the Indian economy. Where were you at that time? Do you remember anything? Is it a haze in your memory, or do you remember specifically those times, what used to happen?
I was transiting from a CA finalist to my first job in corporate India. We were going through a rough time. Chandrasekhar government fell down quickly. Before that, VP Singh government also was not stable. And then during the election campaign, we saw unfortunate news of Rajiv Gandhi's assassination. And then the gold was pledged, which was a shock. In this eventful period, I transited with a CA finalist gold medal to go into my corporate job at ICICI. There was what Charles Dickens calls in A Tale of Two Cities, the best of the times and the worst of the times. When I used to tag along with my senior carrying their papers to meet an old business house, they were saying that, the world is going to come to an end. Import duty has come down. There will be so much competition from imports. We will not be able to survive.
And what were you doing at ICICI, Nilesh? What were you doing at ICICI?
I was a junior officer in merchant banking division, helping raise people money.
Okay.
And then I will step out and, carry papers of my seniors to go to a new business house. And okay, those guys will be exciting. They'll say that now the world is going to change and we are going to conquer the world. And this is the best thing which can happen to Indian economy. And I was a small boy trying to wonder who is telling me the truth. One guy saying world is ending. Other guy saying that we'll go and conquer the world. So it was in true sense, best of the time and the worst of the time.
It depends on from whose lens you were seeing the world in those days.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you were in ICICI Limited at that time, because I remember there was ICICI Bank and ICICI Limited, the institute. So you were working for ICICI Limited in those days.
I was working in the original ICICI.
Original.
Before then, we moved into ICICI Securities, a joint venture between ICICI and JP Morgan. But okay, one and a quarter year, I was managing IPOs to help raise money for all kinds of companies.
Okay. So how did you, what happened in the initial, the Harshad Mehta scam also happened soon after. So was it a flush of good news that came after liberalization only to be roadblocked by the Harshad Mehta scam? What really, capital market was going through a huge big churn, right, in those days. What do you remember? What can you tell us from those days? What really happened?
So it was an amazing period. During my articleship days, I used to dabble in stock market and generally lose all the money. Harshad Mehta time, you saw unbelievable teji, so you made more of money. And then one fine day, the bubble busted and you again lost more of money. It was the period where company circle buying was officially printed in newspaper. There was no insider trading concern.
Okay.
Exchange stopping for payment crisis was part and parcel of folklore. Vandho, patavat, badlo, garo. These are official words of lexicon. It was accepted that when you go to sell, you will sell at the lowest price of the day. And when you go to buy, you will buy at the highest price of the day. Even if you make the payment, that doesn't mean that you will get the delivery, which will be legal and valid. There could be vandho. When you do vyaj badla, it doesn't mean that your money will be protected. An exchange could be shut for payment crisis. So it was a complete Wild West, might is right kind of thing. And then I came into my corporate job, we had controller of capital issues, which used to determine what premium can be given to the company. And most of the time, IPOs were priced at 70, 80, 90% discount to their fair value. So it was a lottery. Anyone who will get the allotment will quickly make money. In between all these things, the economy was going down. Governments were not stable. Foreign exchange wasn't sufficient. And in that upheaval, we saw the reform process. Rupee was devalued by 30% in two tranches. License permit Raj was removed. Import duty was brought down. IMF bailed out India. Gold was pledged to raise foreign exchange loan. Ministry of Commerce and Trade were becoming pro-business. And in this period, we saw CCI getting abolished. I was getting so many mandates from companies to raise money because there was no price limit. You can price it the way you want it. SEBI was getting, you know, created, and they were trying to bring method in the madness of the market. Market was protesting against SEBI. Harshad Mehta took the market on a roller coaster ride. So we saw a lot of churn, but as they say, initially when you churn the ocean, halal wish come out, and then Amrut came out. We saw lots of volatility during that period, but it is on that base that we have seen today's growth coming down. The growth rate moved from 3% pre-liberalization of the 90s to almost 6-7%. That doubling of growth rate is the Amrut, which came because all of us were able to contain the halal of the reform process.
Okay, but quite a very, very different times. You know, you're talking about controller of capital issues, you know, how IPOs were priced from the times that we are living in today, where, you know, there are so many systems in the markets. But Nilesh, what about mutual funds at that time? I mean, you know, you've been in the mutual fund industry also for a very, very long time. I know that we didn't have too many mutual funds in those days. They were only government-owned mutual funds. And, you know, all the big and the best fund managers today, many of them have come from, let's say, the public sector behemoths like SBI Mutual Fund, Canara Mutual Fund. So tell us something about the investors. I mean, investors of those days, what was the mentality? What was their aspiration?
So mutual funds in those days were also, in some sense, wild west, though not like stock market. They were dominated by public sector undertakings. They were giving guaranteed return of 16% and 17%.
Yes.
They used to promise doubling of money, tripling of money, quadrupling of money. There was a rule which says that once you raise money, you need to invest within 90 days. And I was on the sell side trying to sell my IPOs. So I will constantly look at the schemes which are launched and when that 90-day period is coming to an end, because I knew the fund manager will be desperate to invest and he will not bargain with me for a price. He will be interested in complying with SEBI law. And you know, there was a gray market in mutual fund, and we had seen a large issue of UTI Master Gain 1992, just around the Harshad Mehta time. And I saw one of the biggest line of investors trying to invest into that IPO or NFO. I myself wanted to invest in those schemes, and I had to stand in a queue for 3-4 hours to put my application. In that time period, we also saw one multinational company, global company, launching their mutual fund. And there was a huge gray market activity. There was a lot of confusion about whether you're going to get shares or the mutual fund units, whether there will be limited amount or whether there will be full subscription. It opened as a disaster. In the gray market premium, sodas couldn't be completed. People committed suicide. So it was a very, very wild west in stock market as well as mutual fund in the 90s. And the good part was that SEBI was just coming through and it established order in the madness. I remember very fondly SEBI chairman, Mr. G.V. Ramakrishna. He took on the entire broker lobby and entire wasted interest and really cleaned up the system. Today, you have no payment crisis. Today, you have no, you know, market settlement crisis. No Galo, no Patawat, no Vandho, no company circle buying. I mean, a lot of the errors and omissions of those era has been removed thanks to SEBI.
That's good. We remember the serpentine queues that you're talking about, those especially the foreign NFO IPO. It was that.
You remember the photo in one of the newspapers where lines were going from SBI main office in Fountain all the way down to the Bombay House and beyond.
Correct, correct, correct. Those were legendary times. Yes. But Nilesh, as a fund manager, how has it changed from the way you analyze stocks, you analyze scripts, analyze companies? In those days, obviously, you know, there was a lot of lack of information. You know, today you have information on your fingertips. So, you know, as a, from a fund manager's point of view, has it become more convenient or has it become more onerous and tedious for you to, because today, you know, things break up on the social media first before they come in the newspapers, they come on television. There's, you know, 24-hour television channels are there, business channels are there. So from a fund manager's perspective, has it become difficult or has it become easier?
As a fund manager in those days, getting information was a very, very difficult thing. I remember in ICICI Securities, we started first debt market research. And some of the reports which we made were a surprise to the regulator as well as to the company whom we were presenting. I remember one of my equity research analysts doing a research report on a cement company. And the promoter of the company called him up saying that, I also don't know so many things about my company. How did you find this out? And can you guide me as to what's happening in my company? So those were the era of dark days from an information point of view. Getting information was extremely difficult. Today, what you can get on a Bloomberg or a Reuters was not easily available, even on Bloomberg and Reuters on those days. Even getting a balance sheet was sometimes a challenge. And there was no sell-side research analyst. You had to depend upon a lot of information coming, you know, through informal contacts. And it was a very, very difficult thing. Kaisar, even giving a call from Mumbai to Delhi, you had to do a PP call or a lightning call if it's so urgent. And most of the time, you were shouting so hard and loud that the person will hear otherwise only. It was not via telephone, it was our loud shouting. Yeah. And I'll give you an example in the mid-90s. There was one particular multinational company which wanted to probably buy back their shares or whatever they had in mind. So they provided a huge loss. They declared a huge loss. It was against the expectation. The stock prices corrected by 40-50%. You know, we were trying to figure out how did this company lost money. So we laid a hand on the balance sheet through some source. And when we were reading the balance sheets, we found that they have provided technological diminution, 100 crore. It was a big amount in those days. And that's why companies swung into losses. Now, this was not a cash loss. It was just a provision. But it was not disclosed in the market information. The stock prices corrected. One of the biggest FPI of those time was selling that stock. And it came down by 30, 40, 50%. And we realized that this company is giving results probably to bring their prices down so that they themselves can increase their stake. And we stood in front of that FPI and kept on buying the stock. A very big legendary investor today, who is a multi-billionaire, he also bought half of the stock and I also bought half of the stock. He bought it in personal account. I bought it in my fund account, my FPI account. And together, you know, we were able to get a very, very low-hanging fruit. That stock has given a tremendous return to investors. And it was simply possible because we as investors read the balance sheets and the seller didn't read the balance sheet. It was as simple as just reading the balance sheets and which was giving you competitive advantage.
Okay. And in today's time, you're saying that, you know, this would not go so unnoticed that it went in those times because today information is so easily available. Slicing and dicing from information is also...
Today, sell side analysts will be after their IR guys to find out what happened. Why did they declare loss? On their analyst call, people will question them. Fund managers will go to their IR team or the CFOs. Newspaper and media articles will be guessing what happened, why did it happen. And more importantly, from a regulation point of view, they'll have to disclose something like this in a, you know, their results. Correct. Rather than just hide it in the balance sheet.
Correct.
So regulations have changed, scrutiny has changed thanks to social media, thanks to public media. Fund managers have become more proactive. Companies have also become more proactive. So in today's time, reading balance sheet, it will give me an edge, but it will not give me a competitive edge, which is as big as the previous one.
Correct, correct, correct. So today, obviously, over the period of time, a lot of mutual funds also, came about. How did that change the investment landscape? It would have obviously gave more choices to investors. But even the whole fund management industry has also evolved a lot, right? I mean, so many private sector funds, you yourself said about the entry of a foreign fund that happened in the mid-1990s. that didn't go down as well as it people had hoped. But then after SEBI regulations came about, the mutual fund regulations also came about. And after that, I suppose we saw a lot of mutual funds also coming up in the last 20 years. So that also has helped investors, small investors, to channelize their savings into stock markets.
So I think mutual fund were on a journey. In the mid-90s, SEBI came up as a unified regulator for stock market for mutual funds. They started laying ground rules for behavior, for, you know, managing money. We also saw the second crop of foreign sponsored asset management companies coming, and many of them brought global best practices in terms of selling, in terms of managing money. I still remember I was a debt fund manager to begin with. My debt funds were delivering double the return of other competitors. I was outperforming equity. And one day my boss called me up and said that Nilesh, we'll have to prepare an investment manual. We'll have to prepare a risk management manual. And arrogantly, I told him that I am your risk and I am your risk manager. I am the investment manual. Look at my performance. And I was so fortunate that instead of firing me, he took me to a coffee shop, set me there and said, Nilesh, today you are managing 500 crores. Tomorrow you will manage 5,000 crores and thereafter 50,000 crores. Today you are doing everything on your fingertips. But tomorrow you will have people working under you. Wouldn't you like them to work under a boundary? Wouldn't you like to sit and receive data which will tell them whether they are doing a good job or not? I said, of course, yes. He said, that's why I'm asking you to prepare investment manual, risk management manual. Whatever you are doing, put that into a boundary. What is doable, what is not doable. I'm thankful to my boss at Templeton who taught me the importance of, you know, managing risk. I'm sure similar kind of experience came to many fund managers. And slowly and steadily, even in Enfi, we came together. I still remember one incident, Kaisa. We had come together to value debentures and bonds and other securities. Okay. And we had hired CRISIL for doing that valuation. In an illiquid debt market, we were valuing portfolios through an independent agency to the best of our ability. A Korean delegation heard about our valuation methodology. And their regulator sent a delegation to India to study our valuation of debt papers. It was such an amazing achievement for us that a developed market like Korea is sending their delegation to India to learn about mutual funds valuation practices. And I still remember going to Korea and I found that in their analysis, short-term debt, which is maturing within 12 months, is considered not a debt because it is supposed to be refinanced. So they were only looking in the debt equity ratio, all those debts which was beyond 1 year maturity. And I said, what if this refinancing stops? The short term debt will kill the entire company. And they said, no, but short term debts always gets rolled over. So why should you consider that as a debt? There were such fundamental differences in a developed market like Korea versus India. So it was a great journey where SEBI set the boundaries, MFI worked with SEBI to set the rules, and mutual fund managers learned from global best practices as well as, you know, their own experience to create a fairly well-functioning industry.
Okay. And, those are amazing stories, Nilesh, how things have changed. It just seems to me from listening to your stories that you're talking about a previous life and not of this life. I mean, so many things have changed. We can't even imagine that, you know, the kind of automation, the kind of systems that are in place right now.
When we started managing money, it was entirely on Excel sheet. And then me and ICICI Prudential came together to give contract to some of my friends from ICICI. They were developing software and we hired them to develop what is now today known as Quantis. Their company name was Finance, and they developed a debt management module for the mutual fund industry. Me and people from ICICI Prudential came together to develop that.
You were in ICICI Prudential at that time?
I was in Templeton in those days.
You were in, okay.
And these were my ex-colleagues from ICICI. So we created India's first mutual fund debt management product. And over the years, I moved from Templeton to ICICI Prudential. At that point of time, we were told that we need to migrate to Charles River Trading System. This was the go-to software for the entire mutual fund industry in the world. I shifted on my equity portfolio to CRTS, but the debt CRTS I founded was quite rudimentary compared to what I was using in Qantas. And I told my IT people that, look, the day CRTS is capable of matching what Qantas is offering, I will migrate. Till such time, I'm not going to migrate. And as long as I was working in ICICI, they never came back saying that now CRTS is equal to Qantas. Imagine a startup of India, with the help of mutual fund managers, created a product which was better than the global standard of CRTS in that era.
And you're saying that it stood the test of time, that throughout your tenure in ICICI Prudential CR, the CRTS still couldn't match Qantas.
Even today, Qantas is being used by the entire mutual fund industry.
Okay. Seems to be of a very different age and times that you're talking about.
Absolutely. And this was a product, Kezar, at one point of time, you know, they were preparing a product, developing product and improving product. So in one night, you know, evening when the backup was to be taken and the improvement was to be added, they ended up deleting all the data. So suddenly we were without data. And then I called up my friend saying that this is, you know, not doable. I have my NAV store and I have my portfolios to manage next day. So we just have, you know, 12 hours to do. 9 o'clock morning, I need to run. And all of us worked throughout the night and ensured that 9 o'clock in the morning, the data was up and running. My fund managers were coming in and I was going out. And they surprisingly said, sir, are you going out for a meeting? I said, no, now I'm going home to sleep because 12 hours I've worked throughout the night.
Yeah. This happened in, you're saying, in Templeton. Okay. Templeton days. Nilesh, one last question. How have investors changed in the last 30 years? What is it that you, what is so different about the investor of today as opposed to the investor 30 years ago when the reforms happened?
So 30 years back, I doubt if there were investors.
Okay.
Most of us were greedy people who just wanted to make money come what may. And our mind was conditioned by CCI's time, where any IPO will list at a premium. Post-CCI, rules have changed, but it took enormous amount of losses to realize that rules have changed. There was hardly any research. Very few guys were doing fundamental research through whatever means available. And research itself was in a very, very rudimentary form. Insider trading was rampant. Might was right. There was very, very small community of investors who probably benefited in that period by becoming long-term investors. Today, I see far more maturity among investors. They are well-informed. They watch management presentations. They go and attend analyst meet. They read prospectus and balance sheet. And many a times I meet people who are individual investors and whose knowledge about company is far superior to mine.
And but you will also find many young investors, no, Nilesh, in today's times as opposed to, let's say, in those times.
You know, there are many young investors who have done wonderful work. They do research sincerely. They use technology in a far better manner than what we are capable of. And using technology and research, they are able to build wonderful portfolios. So now I think Indian investors have evolved a lot. And the epitome of that was in March 20 when FPIs were selling due to COVID pressure. And Indian retail investors pumped money to buy out whatever FPIs were selling as valuation was attractive.
Absolutely.
So this was like the pinnacle of maturity. Throughout April 20 till I think September 20, we got money from our investors. And only after that, we saw redemptions from October 20 to Feb 21.
Absolutely, Nilesh. Thank you so much, Nilesh. It's been a pleasure as always talking to you, recollecting all your stories. And I mean, I wish I could spend another couple of hours getting as many anecdotes as possible, but that's about the time that we have today. So thank you so much for joining. Wish you all the very best. And yours hoping to see another 30 years from Nilesh Shah.
Thank you. We'll look forward to that.
That's all we have for you today, folks. But tune in to moneycontrol.com for many more such interesting stories, anecdotes, memories, and analysis of how much India has changed in these past 30 years since the economic liberalization began. But there's much more to be read and seen as well on www.moneycontrol.com. See you in another exciting episode podcast soon.